We win. Okay. Yeah. This is not for me, and it'll distract me. Okay. Here we go. So, truly you, unlocking who God created you to be. It's an interesting title for an interesting topic. In all honesty, if you want the detailed version of what we're talking about in this sermon series, it's discipline. In fact, it's biblical disciplines. Ways that we can do things in our lives, change things in our lives, to unlock who God created us to be. Now, discipline is a weird word, and it's kind of a bit of Christianese. It's an English word, but it's not one that we normally use outside of, well, either old people yelling at our kids, "I'm going to discipline you," or in church. Webster's dictionary defines discipline as a control gained by enforcing obedience or order, an orderly or prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior, self-control. In the list of, you know, how they have like 1, 2, 3, that was one. Number three is the one I think that pertains a little bit better, other than the self-control part, that's right on. Training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. That's what discipline is. That's what disciplines are. And the disciplines Jordan and I are laying out for you in this sermon series are integral to our lives as Christians. When we're disciplined, we actually end up seeking the results that we say we desire as Christians. When we're disciplined to read the Bible, when we're disciplined to pray, we actually end up being a Christian. It's crazy how that works. And just like Jordan says, it frees us from that weight of regret. When you sit down and you're like, "Man, I wish I would just spend more time doing X with God." And it probably seems a little daunting, taking this plunge and unlocking who God created you to be. I would remind you of the old adage, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Now, before we get into what I'm specifically preaching on today, and the stack of Bibles may give you an idea, I just want to let you know there are two different kinds of disciplines that we follow as Christians. There are disciplines of abstinence. You might hear those ones called solitude or fasting. Most people, if they've spent any time in the church, they've heard of fasting. And then there's disciplines of engagement, such as study or worship. In fact, all of you have practiced the study or the discipline of engagement this morning by being here and worshiping. Today, we're going to be looking at the discipline of biblical study. Now, disciplines can be hard to enact in our lives, and I'm sure some of you probably think the discipline of biblical study is an easier one for pastors. I mean, this is just the four that I had in my office. I have one at home that's my favorite Bible, and I know Jordan has like 30 Bibles that he keeps a rotating stock so he can give them away. But in all honesty, for pastors, and all the the discipline of biblical study is actually pretty hard still. I wish I could say I had some magical way that, you know, man, this is the way us pastors do it, so you should do it this way. Well, got news for you. There isn't one. And how many of you go to your job and then love to come home and do your job at home? Probably not many of you. Well, that's what it's like practicing some of the disciplines as a pastor. Not only do I have to study the Bible and get ready for my weekly lesson in youth or for Sunday morning sermons, I have to take time to personally get in the Word too. And that's hard. It's hard for you guys too. There's things in our lives that just get in the way. We get through the day and I don't want to read the Bible today. My eyes hurt. I've had a long day. I have a headache. We have 30 million things to do with the kids tonight. I get it. And it's easy to fall into the idea, well, next time. Many do. But there's great benefit to having personal time in the Word of God. And it's there for me just as much as it is for you. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13 says this. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. So what does this mean? It's kind of a weird verse. First, it talks about the Word of God being alive and powerful. Then it talks about it being a sword. And then it talks about us being accountable to God. Well, first, the Word of God is alive and powerful means these aren't just dead words on a page. Or if you use your phone as your primary method of reading the Bible on the screen. They can speak to us right now just as much as they did when they were first written. In some cases, even more. They can speak. Secondly, when we use properly, the Word of God performs surgery on us and allows us to be vulnerable to God so that we can not only be accountable to God, but also see the deepest, darkest things that we have in our lives that are getting in the way of our relationship with God. So how do we do this? How do we enact this practice, this discipline of biblical study? Well, first, congratulations, you have all achieved level one. You're doing it right now. Taking part as a community in biblical teaching. That's what you're doing right now, isn't it? Let me rephrase. Yes, this is what you're doing right now. But making sure that we are regularly getting biblical insight from a pastor or some sort of leader in your life is important. And doing it as a church isn't a bad idea either. And this is just one of many reasons why coming here on Sunday mornings, or to any church that matter, for that matter, is really important. Second, taking some time out of our day to actually stop and read the Word of God. I was talking to Warren before the service, and he was talking about how he just ended, not too long ago, read through the Bible in a year study. Well, I'm going to challenge you all, and actually I'm going to start doing this, to read through the Bible in a year. It's 4 chapters a day, and guess what? The chapters in Psalms count too. So, you know, there's one chapter in Psalm. It's Psalms 117. It's 2 verses. So there's some really short ones in there. So it's not going to be hard. And there, if this isn't, you know, just opening up the book and starting from Genesis isn't your thing, guess what? There's lots of different reading outlines that you can go through. You can do it forwards, you can do it backwards, you can do it chronologically based on the time that it was written. You can do it based on topic, whatever you want. And if you're not that great a reader yourself, turns out this little device will read it to you. I know, it's crazy. So add that to the list of Bibles. Although, if you're listening to it, I would encourage you to read along with it. The way things sink into our minds is, well, there's lots of different ways. And hearing something and seeing something at the same time helps a lot more than just listening. And if you're not that great of a reader, you can get yourself a Bible that thou can read. I mean, here we have the Christian Standard Bible. I have a chronological Bible that's NIV, which is a pretty easy one to read. I've got this one, the New Revised Standard Edition, which is a little harder to read. And I've got this one, which is literally the Bible as a comic book. So, you have no excuse. You can find one to read. If you can read, you can read a Bible. There's one out there for you. If you need one, talk to me or Jordan. Like I said, Jordan has stacks of them on his shelf just to give away. And like I said, you can even listen. Now, the third thing to get in to the discipline of biblical study is to reading and is in listening to supplementary content. If you're a heavy reader and just like you have your next book, all like, okay, I've read this book, next week I'm going to start this book. Sarah reads books like, I don't know. One time we sat down, she got a new book. We sat down, I went through like 2 chapters in a book. She was done with it. And I was like, okay. You know, if that's the kind of reader you are, there are plenty of books out there that Jordan and I can recommend that will get you to understanding the Bible a little bit better and how to read it. Those of you who haven't read a book, or the last meaningful thing that you read was a fortune cookie that you got with your Chinese, well, there's plenty of podcasts out there and audio content that you can read. And again, Jordan and I have plenty of resources that we can recommend to you. I personally, there's a handful of podcasts that I listen to, but Ask N.T. Wright Anything is a pretty cool one. That if you don't know who N.T. Wright is, he is one of the premier biblical scholars for the New Testament. He actually has done tons of commentary work and has helped advance our knowledge of the New Testament pretty crazily. And people just ask him questions like, what does this mean and how does this work? And turns out a biblical scholar answers with the Bible. But there are tons of other resources out there that exist that can help you step into the discipline of biblical study. It's not just things that Jordan and I recommend. You guys can get together in small groups and read the Bible together. What a crazy and radical idea. And don't feel like you have to run before you crawl. If you're having a hard time getting here on Sunday morning, focus on that first. Focus on this part of biblical study. Then, if you're here most Sundays, or most Sundays that you can be, let's move on to the next step, taking 10 or 15 minutes to pick up a Bible every day and just read. Just open it up. It doesn't have to be, you know, something specific. You can literally just go like this. Oh, look, I found Isaiah 62. Apparently, it's about Zion's restoration. That actually sounds pretty cool. I'm a Bible nerd, though, so. But you don't have to feel like you have to go in the deep end first. You can start wherever you feel is your starting place. Your first couple bites are going to be hard. This elephant, the first couple bites are not going to be easy. But if you specifically set apart time every day, just like you do with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you'll start to realize that much like those meals, you will grow an appetite for biblical content. So the next question that might be rattling around, or at least it was in mine when I was writing and preparing for this sermon, is why? Why should you take the time out of your busy days, your busy schedules, to study the Bible, to even read the Bible? Is it that important to being a Christian? Well, short answer is yes. At the beginning of the sermon, I talked about how there are two different kinds of disciplines. Disciplines of abstinence and disciplines of engagement. The difference between the two is that disciplines of abstinence help remove things from our lives that get in the way of God's call on our lives. And disciplines of engagement take up that empty space and put things that are beneficial to our lives as Christians in their place. Dallas Willard put it this way in his book, The Spirit of Disciplines. Abstinence makes way for engagement. If the places in our blood cells designed to carry oxygen are occupied by carbon monoxide, we die for lack of oxygen. If the places in our souls that are to be indwelt by God and His service are occupied by food, sex, and society, we die or languish for lack of God and right relation to His creatures. A proper abstinence actually breaks the hold of improper engagements so that the soul can be properly engaged in and by God. Biblical study is just one of the types of oxygen we need to live in Christ. Without it, our faith will shrivel up and die, just like we would without said oxygen. So if you truly want to pursue God's calling on your life, to fulfill the purpose that you were created for, then disciplining ourselves and taking 10 to 15 minutes every day and just reading or listening to the Bible is going to feed your faith and bring you to one step closer to fulfilling the calling that God has on your life. And believe me, I know it's hard. But also believe me when I say it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it when something comes up in your life and this little book has the answer for it, or at least the direction that you can go. One of the things that we're all called to be, one of the things that is true for all of us, is that we're called to be sub-creators of God, under-creators in the world. But we have to be careful that our desires for creation around us don't outstrip God's desires. One of the ways we can know God's will is by taking time in His Word, disciplining ourselves in the Word is especially important in the task of creation. We all have, in our everyday lives, some way that we create. It's part of who we are. It's part of what makes us in the image of God. God created us in His image. Well, one of the things that God is a creator, and we are sub-creators in that. We just can't get past it. Without taking to the time to know who God is and how He works in the world, how can we be effective sub-creators? Like Jordan said last week, you don't get to lose all the weight that he did without changing your life in some, maybe not huge ways, but significant ways. So I challenge you to change your life today, to walk with me in biblical study. Like I said, I'm challenging you and I'm challenging myself to read through the Bible this year. So it is November 3rd. I think we can do it. If you want, I can be there to help you in the journey. Jordan can be there to help you in the journey. Don't be afraid to ask. It's literally part of our job as pastors is to help you along with these tasks, these disciplines, this way of life called Christianity. We'll grab a spoon and start helping you eat that elephant. Because without the discipline of biblical study, how will we feed a true and growing faith in God? Now, before we end today, or at least end this part of the day, we're going to do something a little different. I want you to stop and think of at least one person that's a Christian in your life that you trust. Now, while you're thinking about who that person might be, I want you to grab this little device. Go ahead, grab it. I give you permission to open your phone. Now, go to either your clock app or your calendar app. Now, I want you to think of a time where you're free every day. It might be right before you go to bed. It might be right after you get up. It might be right around lunchtime every day. Every day. And I want you to add a reminder for yourself, or an alarm, if you only have a clock app, to remind yourself to read the Bible at that time, every day. I don't know what time I picked. 8 a.m. is not going to work for me. Let's see. And then you can put it in there. I'll do mine later. And then you can put it in there and have that set and have it remind you. So now we've taken the first step to actually, a practical step, into being ready to step into this discipline of biblical study. Now, when that thing shows up, you just have to remind yourself, or to actually do it. You don't even have to remind yourself to do it. Like, I'm not going to forget now that, you know, you have this thing that shows up on your phone. Hey, read the Bible. Excuse me. Now, the next thing is you've thought of a person. someone in your life that you trust that's a Christian, I want you to ask them to help you be accountable to this discipline. Jordan next week is talking about the discipline of community. We're not meant to do this alone. We're meant to help each other in these disciplines. Part of the reason we fail so often as Christians is because we try to do it ourselves and fail. So, that person that's in your mind, I want you, as soon as you can, if they're in this room, when I say you're dismissed, go talk to them. And ask them to keep you accountable in this. And I urge you, if someone asks you to help keep them accountable, please say yes. It's important. It's important to their walk. It's important to your walk. Having a Christian community around us to help keep us moving towards our calling in God can help us continue to build our faith. Again, we're not meant to do this alone, and we need to be willing to help others in our pursuit of God's calling in our lives. Now, the last thing that I'm going to challenge you to do is, that clock is wrong. No, it's actually right. It is 11:20 on a Sunday afternoon. We're dismissing after I pray right now. Go and read the Bible. It'll be your first step. Go and take time to study. If you have a regular study life, find some supplementary pieces to help you learn more about the Bible. Ask Jordan or I if you don't know where to find those or if you don't have any yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for giving us the ability to walk in your calling for our lives. Giving us the tools to cut deep into our lives so we know what in our lives is blocking us from you. What are we engaging in that is not of you and should not be of us? Lord, I pray to give us patience with ourselves and others as we walk through these disciplines. Lord, I pray for supernatural self-control when it comes to these disciplines. That you would remind us how great it is to be close to you and to be in your word. It's hard, yes. It's not going to make life easy necessarily. But it will make our lives as Christians better. So I pray that all of us can walk in your word, your living word, and apply it daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.